Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined on the phone by Barry Trammell. We are helping to fill in for Maddie Lee tonight, who is soon to be on her way to Chicago to bring you guys some cool stories from the All-Star break. But for now, we're here to talk about the final game before the break. The Thunder beat the Pelicans 123-118 on Thursday night. It ended a two-game skid, and the Thunder, Barry, is headed into the All-Star break with a pretty good feeling.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, that was a game that certainly could have gone either way. Zion Williamson, everything he's billed to be, he was fantastic tonight. Career high, what was he, 32 points, I think it was. Yeah. And the Thunder had a couple of hairy moments, but in the end, made the plays down the stretch and won it with some really good offensive. This was an offensive victory. The Pelicans shot it well. They shot 48.8%, 40% from three-point range. Got a bunch of foul shots. But the Thunder trumped them in all those areas. So just an excellent offensive game. Gallinari was great. Schroeder hit a couple of big shots. Chris Paul. Mike Muscala, for crying out loud, came through. One of the better third-team center performances you'll see. So, a very good offensive game, I thought.
Yeah, especially from behind the three-point line. That's about as good as we've seen the Thunder shoot the ball. OKC was 13 of 27. Gallinari, who you mentioned, he was 3 of 5. He had 29 points. It was a big game for him. Especially with the way he really struggled against San Antonio. So 13 of 27 for three, and they needed that because the Pelicans were 14 of 35. So both teams shot, the Pelicans shot 40%, the Thunder shot 48%. But when you look at the three-point numbers, one sticks out, and that's a one-for-one next to Steven Adams' name, his first career three-pointer in over 500 career games. It was one of the craziest one-handed half-court shots you'll probably see.
Well, I think it's clearly the greatest shot in Thunder history. It's got to be the favorite shot of Thunder history for all the
with the fans. Shimmy too.
When you look at that play, you know, Billy Donovan gets the technical with 3.3 seconds left, and the Clippers had just made, I think, two foul shots. Didn't like the call. Thunder didn't like the call. So what we're dealing with is we've got Thunder's upset. They've sort of squandered, a little bit of a lead. It's back down to five. Even Chris Paul seemed to have some frustration because Stone Cold inbounds the ball to Paul on the move. And, Chris is great at catching it and getting it down court and get something going in a short amount of time. And tonight, he just sort of caught it going sideways and just flipped it back to Adams out in the middle of the no man's land. Nobody's around, but what's Adams going to do with the ball, 60 feet from the basket? And so Adams just, I think he took one dribble, I think.
Yeah.
He sort of took one dribble and just sort of shot it the way he shoots that little five-footer in the lane. The ball just soars through the air and swishes. And the whole mood and tenor of the game changed at that point.
Yeah.
He has a good time shimmying. Everybody's all fired up. And all the bad blood. That first half reminded me a little bit about the Thunder last season. When Westbrook and George and people did a lot of griping. And people got a lot of technical fouls. And there were a lot of frustration. And it was sort of a bad scene. And a lot of that was going on tonight in the first half. But all that was wiped away when Adams made the 50-footer. So, it wasn't easy after that. It was still some hairy moments. But that seemed to take the lid off the Thunder pressure. So I think that for a second quarter shot, that was very big.
The remarkable part to me was how effortless it was. You're looking at it and you're like, something doesn't look right here. Steven Adams has the ball beyond half court, seconds remaining off the clock just before halftime. And he just like flicks his wrist. It's one handed. It's not like a heave where you reach your arm back behind your head and let it loose. it almost looks like one of his little push shots in the paint. And it just keeps going and going and right into the net. It was one of the craziest things. And maybe before the All-Star break, we should add a contest of, like, who can throw a basketball the furthest of any NBA player. My money might be on Steven Adams.
Well, he is so strong. And, you know, we've been talking about that for a long time, but he showed it tonight. You always hear about guys with unlimited range. He's got unlimited range, literally. He's got unlimited range
from
on
the upper deck. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it was fun. He's, I think he's one of 10.
Yeah, one of 10.
Career now, you said. I think I'll bet 9 of those are heaves.
Yeah.
You know, it was good to see him getting rewarded. Really a big shot for a second quarter shot.
Yeah, you've mentioned maybe we should do a story on, like, Steven Adams, the quarterback. We've seen that throw to Dennis Schroeder in the Minnesota game. This is like another one.
I hadn't even thought of that. You're exactly right.
Just his the accuracy.
Well, let me listen. St. Joe, I watched the Dallas Renegades last week and saw some other XFL highlights. I promise you, put Steven Adams as an XFL quarterback, he's in the upper half of XFL quarterbacks. He'll get the ball downfield, I tell you that.
Arm strength off the charts. No one's going to sack him. It's not a terrible idea, really.
No, that's true. That's true.
Goodness. You know, one of the guys that he was matched up a little bit with, not a ton, was Zion Williamson, who you mentioned at the top. Just, you know, we've seen him in bits and pieces. Seeing him for a full game against the Thunder, he had his career high tonight, 32 points. But what were your impressions of him?
Well, he's virtually unstoppable by a team like the Thunder for this reason. We were discussing it the other day. Who's gonna match up with Zion? And the answer is nobody.
Yeah.
Around the league, most teams don't have somebody that can match up with Zion Williams. Williamson. He's so quick. He's so strong. But he was fantastic around the basket. The Thunder did get him to take some outside shots. 1 3-pointer. I think you said he hadn't made one since his season debut.
Yeah, he made those 4 in his debut, and then he hasn't attempted a whole lot. But yeah, he hasn't made one since then.
You know, the Thunder broadcast said that he had entered this game with only one mid-range shot.
Yeah, that was surprising.
All season, and he took 2 or 3 of those. But he was fantastic. Now, strangely enough, you know, the Thunder tried a variety of guys on him. Adams.
Gallinari started on him, which was surprising.
I thought Gallinari did the best on him.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
when we picked which guys might face him, I think, you know, I kind of threw out Chris Paul, you threw out Adams, and Maddie said Dort. And it was Gallinari to start the game.
Yeah, and I thought Gallinari probably did the best. Muscala guarded him a little bit, Mike Muscala. So he's going to be a thorn in the flesh for the Thunder. You know, back at the lottery back last spring, you know, it's clear now that we should have prayed the rosary that an Eastern Conference team got Zion Williamson, because he's going to be a headache for years to come for the Thunder.
Yeah, and the Thunder scheduling was on the Thunder side. This was the 4th game against the Pelicans, so OKC gets the season sweep, but 3 of those games were without Zion, and tonight Brandon Ingram was out. So Brandon Ingram is a first-time All-Star. He scores 26 points a game. So, you know, there's been a few of these games where the Thunder has missed the opposing team's best player. The Pelicans' offense, though, tonight, even without Ingram, it looked really good.
Yeah, it did. The Thunder got up 13 there. I think it was in the third quarter, and they let J.J. Redick go off. He had a spree there where he shot him back into it. Lonzo Ball, who used to couldn't shoot a lick, goes 5 of 8 from 3-point range. Drew Holiday had a stretch in the somewhere where he was lifting them back. So that's a good offensive team in New Orleans. They're a good mix of shooters and drivers and strong men. So they're going to be a load. I think New Orleans has a. I think they got the best chance now. I'm starting to think they have the best chance to catch Memphis for that eighth seed. I think they're 5.5 games back, so that's going to be tough. But
yeah, 5.5.
But they're good, boy. But they're good. New Orleans with especially when Ingram comes back. Ingram and Zion and that team is really good.
Yeah, and you've got a really good young core there with Zion, obviously. Leading it, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and then they held onto a guy like Drew Holiday after the trade deadline. So it's definitely a fun team. Just one of their strengths hasn't been defense. And, you know, the Thunder, I mean, we talked about their three-point shooting at the top. Gallinari was fantastic. He was one shy of his season high. He had 29 points. Chris Paul almost had a triple-double tonight. He had 14 points, tied his season high with 12 assists. He had 8 rebounds. I thought this could, you know, there would be no shame in Chris Paul going to his 10th All-Star game. The Thunder are one of 2 games playing tonight. It would be a game that he could check out, but he was fantastic again.
He was, yeah, and he had 1 turnover. You know, as a team, the Thunder had 9 turnovers. 1 was a shot clock violation, 7 individual turnovers. You know, there's game, not mentioning any names, but there's been times in the past where the Thunder would have 9 turnovers from one certain player, and tonight they have 9 for the whole dang team. So, you know, and that's really where they won the game.
Yeah, look at the other side.
The Pels had 17 turnovers, so New Orleans got more foul shots, got more offensive rebounds, shot almost as well. But the Thunder got those extra possessions, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, and the Thunder scored 24 points off of those turnovers. So, you know, Billy Donovan said what you just said after the game. He said that something had to balance out the Pelicans' foul shooting, and that ended up being the turnovers. Back to Zion for a little bit. Like, a few of them caught my eye, but it seemed like Gallinari and even Billy Donovan, he got the technical, and a few Thunder players were getting a little frustrated, I thought, at the amount of fouls that Zion was drawing.
Yeah, there were a couple, you know, there were a couple that might have been shaky. That's just going to be life with Zion Williamson,
exactly.
Though.
Exactly, yeah.
Get used to that.
He's 285 pounds.
Yeah, and you know, you're going to have to play physical with him or you're going to get mowed down. But he's also not a guy that, you know, he's. I don't know that the Thunder's going to be the only team that expresses frustration about that. He shot 13 foul shots tonight. That's more, you know, I assume that's a career high. But I think there's going to be a lot of games where he's in the double digit on free throw attempts. So I think that's going to be life with Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm. Did you think this was a fitting game after, I think it was this morning, you had a blog about how the Thunder is so balanced they can't really afford when one of their key scorers, you know, is having an off night. But tonight, I thought they were back to that balance. I mean, Gallinari had 29, Schroeder had 22, Shea had 17. They got back to really doing what they've been doing offensively.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody – my point was the Thunder's in trouble if two of their four guys, if only two of the four play well, if only one of the four plays well, they're dead. But I thought tonight all four of them were pretty good, and maybe the only thing you could really get worked up about is, like, I thought in like Schroeder did not have a good second half. He was fantastic in the first half,
mm-hmm.
But he was not. He was not particularly good in the second half, but he hit a big three that sort of put the game in Thunder control. Let's see. Schroeder in the second half is 1 of 7. SGA is 1 of 5.
But, jeez.
But you know, they played very well in the first half, both of them. So that sort of counterbalances. Chris Paul always plays well. And Gallinari was fantastic. So that offset it. And here's the deal. If Mike Muscala goes 4 for 4, including 2 of 2 from 3-point, you know, Dennis Schroeder can sort of have an off night, and you might be okay.
Yeah. Mike Muscala, I mean, let's just say he didn't, like, try to warm into the game. He checked in, started firing up shots, and that's why he's going to have his jersey retired on Saturday at Bucknell.
He had 2 rebounds. He also had 2 block shots. I really thought he played an excellent. He drew a charge, I think from Josh Hart, and elbowed him on a drive. So he really did play a really good all around game for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. So and what's interesting is that he was playing with just as a backup. I mean, we're literally as a third-team center.
Yeah,
he played when Adams was in foul trouble. Noel did not have a strong game. Ended up only playing 10:40. So, Billy played 3 centers tonight. And if you put those all 3 numbers together, it's pretty dang good. It's 12. Let's see. Adams had 11, so 23 points, 16 rebounds, 5 block shots. So you'll pick that from the center position most nights.
Yeah, Adams had a double-double. He was +9. Muscala had big shots. The rotation looked a little different tonight. I think it was because of that foul trouble, especially at center. This was a game where Hamidou Diallo was out of the rotation again. He did not play. So I think – I don't know. I don't think Billy – is settled right now on that wing rotation. Ever since Terrence Ferguson has come back into the lineup, Hamidou Diallo has either not played at all or played very few minutes. So that's one thing to look for going forward, I think.
Well, and Diallo, when he has played here in the last 2 or 3 games, he's been the backup power forward with Darius Bazley out.
Yeah.
But Diallo can't play power forward against the Pelicans, for crying out loud. He's not going Diallo.
Look at their power forward.
Yeah, yeah. And now that I talk about it, you know, there's a guy I dog all the time. But if you actually were looking for a guy to throw out there on
Mr. Burton
design, Deontay Burton might be – that might be his calling. He might – maybe he can stay in the league. I don't know if he can do it, but you could at least try it. Deontay, he can be your backup defender for Zion Williamson because – he's thick, and he's sort of
very specific role.
Very ornery, you know. I mean, he's just crazy enough to go out there and get something done. You know, he'll also miss the backboard on about 3 shots. But, you know, but I think that's something Billy could have tried tonight. The second half went better. Zion was good in both halves. In fact, I think he played more. I think he scored more in the second half than he did the first half. But it came pretty easy in the first half. A lot of foul shots. Thunder made him work a lot more, I thought, in the second half. So, you know, I think that was at least something they could build on there. Let's see, second half for Zion. He only took 4 foul shots. So, you know, you can't go fouling the guy. Just, you know, make him work 4 shots and get them. But he had too many foul shots in the first half.
Yeah, everyone who, you know, talks about Zion and sort of breaks down his game, they talk about that second jump, and it really is crazy how fast he can get back up after he comes down and just the amount of space he can cover. There was a play that stood out to me. They threw a lob to him. I think it was Frank Jackson that threw it, and it's not like Zion was open. He just spun off Noel's backside and jumped at the rim, and he was right there, so... I'm pulling for the Pelicans to sort of make a run at this 8 seed. It would sure be fun to. Can you imagine like a Zion LeBron first round matchup?
That would be fun. People, you always talk about what's the closest thing to Zion Williamson physically, and the answer is LeBron James. Zion is a lot thicker than LeBron, but. When you talk about combination of quickness and strength, there's not very many people like those guys. And so similarity, you know, they're about as close as it gets. Not that it's close, but That would be a sort of a fun matchup, whereas Memphis would just get chewed up.
Yeah. What do you think of the – a lot of people have thrown out Charles Barkley, and Michael Cage did that tonight as a comparison for Zion.
They're both thick, but I don't know if Barkley was – you know, Barkley doesn't get enough credit for his skill. I don't know that he was like a phenomenal athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't – he could dunk and he could do stuff, but it wasn't like he's out there jumping out of the gym.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Zion Williamson can do that. Zion Williamson can win a decathlon. Charles Barkley knew angles and he knew moves and he had guile and savviness. Zion Williamson just, you know, he just shows up and you can't deal with it. So, they are thick. They're both thick. You know, to me, Barkley is more, I don't know, they're more of just a tribute to the overweight guy who gets it done. You know, you see that, Oliver Miller, whoever else you can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is not overweight. He's just rock solid.
Yeah. He definitely is, and you know, it's kind of totally different player than Giannis, but the same in that, you know, Giannis, as he started to shoot threes this year, how that totally unlocks his game from people playing way off of him. If Zion ever does that, just look out for the rest of the Western Conference is all I have to say.
Yeah, he's going to have to make a pretty high percentage before people are upset that somebody let him shoot a three.
Yeah,
because if he's shooting from outside, you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, thank you." Even if it goes in.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a Thunder game this year where it was exaggerated as far as how back and how far off they played somebody. Like, I mean, they're basically standing in the paint when he's beyond the 3-point line. So that was interesting.
Yeah, and you know they got a 3-second defensive three tonight. Thunder doesn't get many of those.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pretty good about that. Adams got one. But that's another byproduct of trying to deal with the likes of Zion Williams.
Yeah. Just moving past this game, one of the more impressive stats the Thunder has going into the All-Star break, this was their 8th consecutive road win that ties a Thunder record. And if you look back since the beginning of December, the Thunder are 15-3 on the road since the beginning of December. And this is a team that started 0-6. Them and the Magic were the last team standing without a road win to start the season. And now they're 15-3 since December. So what do you make of that?
I don't know what to make of it. I have no idea what's going on there, but it's fascinating. Couple things. One is they're winning close games on the road. They're pretty good close. Obviously, they're a good clutch team in terms of they perform well in close games. They shoot foul shots well. They don't lose many games at the foul line. They've got veteran point guards, so they never get too rattled. They got not just Chris Paul, but Dennis Schroeder. And, you know, in a pinch, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, you know, tonight, one of the fascinating things about tonight is the Pels cut it to 3 points there with, you know, what was it? I think 16 seconds, 14 seconds, maybe 16 seconds. And the Thunder run off half the time left just with good ball movement and mm-hmm. good dribbling and good, just good poise. And then, you know, it was only 8 seconds, 7 seconds, whatever it was. And Schroeder just needs to make one or two to basically end the game. He makes them both. And I just think, you know, you're not going to win too many blowouts on the road. If you're going to have a great road record, you got to win close games. And this is a Thunder team that has shown that that's sort of their forte. Mm-hmm. They win close games.
Yeah, and if you look at the standings, the Thunder are now 16-10 on the road. The Rockets are 15-12. The Jazz are 16-13. The Clippers are 15-13. The Nuggets also have 10 road losses. The Lakers are unbelievable, 23-5 away from home. But I mean, the Thunder are basically the. I mean, they're with the Mavericks, but top three road team in the West right now.
Yeah, it's just nuts. The idea that, especially losing those first, what'd you say, six?
They were 0-6. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. So, it's a testament to just perseverance, because I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be, not just a long year, but this is going to be a bad year. This team can't win on the road. And instead, they, you know, turned themselves into one of the best. Yeah, I mean, they got a better road record than the Celtics. They got a better road record than anybody in the East except the Bucks and the Raptors. So, a lot to like about this team. What I liked about tonight was they'd played poorly in the four-game homestand. Win two, lose two. Mm-hmm. Win, beat two bad teams narrowly. Played pretty well against Boston and lost. Played very poorly against San Antonio. But then they go on the road and they sort of exercise the demons. I thought this game made up for the Spurs game.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, you know, with Zion on the Pelicans, you probably shouldn't win that game in New Orleans. So I thought this one offset the Spurs, which was a bad loss, but it's a good win going into the All-Star break. And they get to 33-22. That's a 600 winning percentage.
Yep.
So that's a 48.5 game pace. For this team to approach 50 wins would be remarkable.
Yeah, that's why I kind of – I mean, it sounds silly, but like the – like Steven Adams' shimmy to close the first half, it was like – it's like they there was a sense of relief, basically, and I think they would have been in a total different spot mentally if they were going into the All-Star break after such a good, you know, unofficial first half, whatever the heck you want to call it. But if they went into the All-Star break with three losses, that would not have been good. And then to get this win, it almost changes the outlook when they come back next Friday against the Nuggets.
Yeah, and that you know, you don't know where this team's going to finish. You don't even know where you want them to finish.
Yeah, I think tonight they're at their Vegas win total, I think, at the beginning of the season. I think 33 was a popular number.
Right. Well, that's just crazy. But, you know, as they go to the break, they're only four games behind the Clippers, who, you know, the storyline was sort of that the Thunder had traded an NBA title to the Clippers. Not that Thunder was going to win one, but when they sent Paul George there, it made the Clippers the overwhelming favorite. The Clippers are really good, but they're also only four games ahead of the Thunder. So,
yep.
It was a fun game, and it shows that Thunder's got some. They got some perseverance. I assume the slump is over. We'll see, but. As you said, going into the break on a positive note like this, I think is a very good thing.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't even mention, I thought it was a good solid game by Lou Dort. I thought his defense was really good. He had a couple of baskets, plus 11 on the plus minus, which is second best on the team behind Chris Paul. So, well, things.
Terrence Ferguson made a three-pointer.
Terrence Ferguson made a three-pointer. That's right. Ethel Nader made three shots for crying out loud in a couple of plays.
Yeah, he got to the rim again. Surprising.
So there was a lot to build on this game.
Yeah. Well, I think that wraps it up from this one. Just to let you guys know, again, Maddie is going to be in Chicago, so make sure you're following everything she's doing. From the All-Star break, working on a Chris Paul story, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then Billy Donovan is going to be back in Gainesville on Saturday. Florida is naming their basketball court after him, so they'll have a special ceremony there, and we'll have a story to sort of preview that. So keep an eye out from that, but until then, it's going to be a long break. We won't be back until next Friday. The Thunder are home against the Nuggets. So, I don't have Maddie's exit down, but I will say share it with all the people you usually share it to, and thank you for listening to the latest edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast.